America has Christian roots, but to say that America is a Christian nation today is very questionable and controversial. Dr. James Spencer, the president of the D.L. Moody Center, which is based in Northfield, Massachusetts, is the author of many books, including his newest book, Serpents and Doves, which focuses on Christians, politics, and the art of bearing witness to Jesus. In a recent article, to which we'll link, Dr. Spencer writes, quote, "Despite conflicting historical evidence, 60% of U.S. adults believe the founders intended the United States to be a Christian nation, and 45% believe it should be a Christian nation. So is there a meaning of Christian nation supported by the biblical use of the word Christian?" So writes Dr. James Spencer, again of the Moody Center. He now joins us on Vocal Point. And I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Spencer, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, let's just clear a few things here. I believe very strongly that the settlers of America were, for the most part, Christians, and the founders of America were also, for the most part, Christians, but they clearly intended that there would be no establishment of religion, but there would be totally, freedom of religion. You could see that so well said in the First Amendment. But today, you know, some people on the left, for example, won't even allow for the idea that, you know, hey, the idea that our rights come from God, the Creator, that's spelled out in the Declaration of Independence. So anyway, explain your view on this whole controversy.
Yeah, I would agree with that historically. I think that America was founded by a number of Christians. I think that they wanted to have a freedom for religion, particularly in response to what was going on with the Church of England in Britain. And I think that that took a number of years to work itself out. We still have, for instance, state-established religions in Pennsylvania and several other states until about 100 years after the founding of our country. And so you have this sort of negotiation between the states and the federal government, where the states were, there were many people, even the Danbury letter that was sent by the Danbury Baptist to Thomas Jefferson is really in response to a state established religion with the Congregationalist Church that obviously the Baptists were not particularly happy about. And so we had these negotiations throughout the early history of the United States. So I certainly believe that Christians were influential in the founding of the United States, but I'm just not sure that biblically we should be using the word Christian to describe what exactly that was. That's my primary point. And I think that as we use that language of Christian, we may be causing more confusion than we really want to, and more confusion than is actually helpful to proclaiming the gospel.
Well, okay, then would you say, okay, the key, you know, documents in American history were founded on biblical values? Again, using the example of the Declaration of Independence, our rights come from the Creator, therefore the non-negotiables. And they even say in that document, for the purpose of this, you know, declaration, we appeal to the supreme judge of the world.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting and telling to look at some of the things that weren't included in our founding documents. And so there were sort of minority opinions that wanted to have, for instance, Christ language in our founding documents to specify who this higher power was, who this Creator was, and to root that into a triune God. That this was the God of Christianity that was endowing these things with our natural rights. But ultimately, I think it became problematic, and we see that in various at various points in our history. For instance, when there were religious tests for office, many of them were constructed to conform to Protestant Christianity. But there was a Jewish synagogue in Pennsylvania that sort of bucked up against that and said, you know, we think we should be able to hold office too. And so there's accommodations made. There were things that were compromised because the overriding value seems to have been freedom of religion, not necessarily a Christian nation. And so when I look at some of these things, I'm not trying to deny that our country was founded by Christians, that our country was influenced by biblical principles, that much of what we read in Scripture, the sort of moral frameworks that we can derive from Scripture were at play. But I do think that we want to distinguish the fact that those moral frameworks are as insufficient as the Old Testament law was, for instance. The Old Testament law simply was weak in the sense that it could not solve the problem of human sin. And so God had to send Christ in order to be that sacrifice so that all who would be connected to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit would then walk in his ways and obey his statutes. And so we have to start making these finer distinctions in my mind to make sure that we're not construing a Christian influence, which I think is absolutely historically verifiable, with a Christian theological framework, which I'm a little less sure on.
Well, one thing I think we find ourselves in a situation right now where there's essentially a war on America as founded. I'll give an example. Mm-hmm. William Penn is about as tolerant and pro-golden rule as a settler that you're going to find, you know, other than maybe the Pilgrims and Roger Williams, who founded Rhode Island, which was much, much smaller. But Penn created this holy experiment. He hoped it would be the seeds of a nation. He even put on the frame of government, the very front, literally Matthew 7:12, which is the golden rule and so forth. So anyway, and this big colony that became this huge state, Pennsylvania, was named after his family. And just recently, the National Park Service under the current administration wanted to take Welcome Park, one of the major parks in the city of Philadelphia that William Penn created, you know, based on the Bible and so forth, the city of brotherly love. They wanted to take out Penn's statue, take, you know, essentially scrub the park of any references to William Penn and instead put some sort of Native American display. Oh, and by the way, William Penn had fantastic relationships with the Native Americans and so forth. So what is this war on America as founded? I don't get it, because if you remove that idea that God is the source of our rights, you know, then all of a sudden we could be, you know, essentially jettisoned in a moral universe and so forth. And we saw what happened in the 20th century when many different states did that. They cut themselves off from any kind of theological foundation.
So I'd say we're seeing a couple of things there. Number one, I think that the unity that we have in Christ as people who have a deep faith in Christ, that is a binding unity. That's something that can't be broken. When we are united with Christ, we are automatically united with each other. And it's a strong bond. All the rest of these bonds are sort of weak bonds. And they may present themselves as strong. They may be, it may seem apparent that all of us should be sort of committed to the health of our nation. It may seem clear that we should all be committed to these universal values and human rights and different things like that. And there's some degree to which I think they're stronger than certain other bonds, right? And, you know, we could talk about the difference between like the bonds of like, let's say, family bonds versus friendship bonds. A lot of people would say, well, the family bonds are stronger than the friendship bonds. But the reality is that all of these bonds are less strong than the unity that we have in Christ. And so what I think we're seeing is this fraying is due to the sort of bond we have attempted to forge. And so we've tried to forge a bond that was Christ adjacent. We've basically said there are these Christians who helped form the nation. If we can keep a generic moral framework together, then everybody should be able to stay together. But we really don't see biblically any evidence that that would hold true. And so just for instance, you know, the Israelites, they did not sit down and come up with the Ten Commandments. Those were delivered by the hand of God through Moses. They couldn't hold themselves together. And so a self-governed people who are trying to come up with good and moral laws, which I think our founders did a fantastic job with, but those are never going to be as strong. They're always going to fray at the edges. There's always going to be holes because we're limited human beings. And I think what we're seeing is we're seeing human beings reach our limit. And what we're trying to figure out is how do we sort of close the gaps, right? How do we restrain evil? How do we draw people back? And that's an appropriate aim. But as the church, we also need to be thinking, how do we point people to the triune God, not simply back to a historic past that was more wholesome, maybe, more moral, than it is today. Does that sort of provide a, I don't know, I think that, I hope that provides a little bit more of a nuanced framework for the way I'm trying to think through the history of our nation, its benefit, but also its true shortcomings.
Well, you know, one of the things that's so interesting about this is James Madison, who was a key architect of the Constitution, mm-hmm. he, instead of going to the University of, not the University of Virginia, but rather William and Mary, we University of Virginia hadn't even been founded by his friend yet until years later. Anyway, he goes to what is now Princeton. He studied under Dr. John Witherspoon, a minister who signed the Declaration of Independence. And he spent a lot of time. In fact, after he graduated, he spent a whole year working directly with Witherspoon, and he had to translate from the Hebrew, the original Hebrew parts of the Old Testament, you know, into English and so forth, and maybe even back into Hebrew. But anyway, he had this biblical worldview infused in him. And one of my favorite quotes from Madison is this: "All men having power ought to be distrusted." It was out of this biblical worldview, which says that man is basically sinful, and that that the Constitution was written. And what it does, I mean, people sometimes complain about the Constitution because it divides power, you know, so minutely and so forth. And that was on purpose. That's because of that biblical worldview that infused those, not just Madison, but others. And they write about this, by the way. The three main writers of the Federalist Papers are Madison, Hamilton, and John Jay. Actually, it's in the order as far as who wrote the most: Hamilton, Madison, John Jay. But this biblical concept of man infused in the Constitution, our governing document, I think is really critical. It's why it's been so durable when other constitutions have come and failed.
100% I agree. And I think, you know, when you're talking through that, I go back to that passage where it's sort of the namesake of the book, Serpents and Doves. In that passage, Jesus is sending his disciples out for the first time. And what does he tell them? He tells them to go out without excess. He gives them fairly meager resources to go out with. And as they go out, he tells them that some are going to accept them, some are going to reject them, and that they need to beware of those who reject them. And so betrayal is imminent, because those who do not accept the message of the gospel, just simply, the way I think of it is, they have far fewer resources than those who accept the gospel. Because they don't truly know the triune God, that power is always going to be seductive, however it's divided. And so I agree with you. I think that that principle being built into the Constitution is a response to the human sort of state that they recognized humanity was in. But there is still a real weakness and a fragility, almost a brittleness to it, because people will always find a way around. I mean, the depth of our depravity seems to know no bounds. We have worries. We have real things that we need to govern. And without God standing behind us to say, hey, obedience is your strategy for making your way in the world, if we don't really deeply believe that, and I think only Christians can believe that, we're going to find ourselves disobedient and rebellious fairly quickly.
Yeah, one of the key phrases I like to use about the American experiment is self-rule under God. But if we can't control ourselves with God's help, you know, then it's like salt that loses its saltiness. We have about 20 seconds left. MoodyCenter.org, or also a website, usefultogod.com. Closing thought from you, 20 seconds on these things, James Spencer.
I would just encourage people. Christian appears three times in the Bible, and each time it's either affiliated closely with Christ, or it is given to a group of people who are the mixed multitude of Jews and Gentiles united in Christ. And so let's just be careful with our language and what we apply that Christian to make sure we're not confusing folks about what is and what is not actually Christian.
All right, Dr. James Spencer, thanks for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.